to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Rayburn's Russian River Valley Chardonnay. Further, what does a can of Pringles, a mobility scooter, and Walmart have in common? Well, we'll find that out too on tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks.
I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Hey.
Unfortunately, tonight, the superstar is not on. However, Scott has brought some sort of platter of food that looks from Star Trek.
It is from Star Trek.
It's
looks very appetizing.
Marinated Mediterranean veggies.
Yeah.
That's what he's mocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been run over by a car 10 times, too.
You don't have the sophisticated palate that Scott and I have.
Fair. Touche. I'll grant you that. It smells and tastes like dog food. Anyway.
So good.
If you like that. Anyway, on the show tonight, folks, we have a Chardonnay. It's partly because we're breaking in the new Montrachet glasses, which are oak Chardonnay glasses that we have from Riedel, the wines, but they're wine series.
Okay.
The Triple B does not want to taste the oak, so she is using an unoaked Venom Chardonnay glass, which is exciting and future.
The glasses don't look like real wine glasses to me. They look like something you'd see someone that you, meaning Rob Dern, would see something drinking out of and mock.
Yes,
I agree.
True.
And more
only
bowl-like.
They look like a fishbowl. But this is the only thing you drink it out of. It's very few things that you would drink out of this glass. Very oaked Chardonnay. So the Chardonnay in question tonight is a wine from California. It's by a winery I never heard of prior to you bringing it.
But yet I thought you talked about it all the time, which just goes to show that often...
You don't listen.
I'm wrong.
I get
it wrong.
But it's Rayburn. Rayburn Winery, and they are primarily in Russian River Valley. They make two different wines.
We like Russian River Valley.
We do, but they make a Russian
River... Do we like their Chardonnay? Or do we just like everything they make?
Russian River Valley, Chardonnay, Pinot, Zinfandel.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you got. Chardonnay, Pinot, Zinfandel. And I do like Chardonnays from there. I do like Pinots. And they also, their other wine is a Russian River Valley Pinot.
Wow.
Now, their Chardonnay comes in about $17 on wine.com.
Is that where you got it?
Didn't you get it at Twisted Vine?
I think I got it at Twisted Vine.
Mm.
And then their Pinot comes in about $24 on wine.com. Interesting. And it's also interesting, under 20, you're getting a Russian River Valley Chardonnay by a smaller producer. I don't know what the case production is on this, but it's low. It's low. So this is an interesting wine, interesting poll, and an interesting way to break in the Montrachet glasses. So when we come back, folks, we're going to be even more interesting and say some obscene things here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. So we're back, folks. So the 2017 Rayburn Winery Russian River Valley Chardonnay.
Can you tell me what's on the bottle?
Yes. The name Rayburn, Russian River Valley, and Chardonnay. Here's a
picture.
But what's on the lower left-hand corner?
Lower left-hand corner is a crest, and it looks like what, cranes?
I think, how do you say E-G-R-E-T, egrets? Is that how you say that?
Oh, yeah.
That's a nod to the proprietor's mother.
Oh, very nice.
But
is she bird-like?
I think she's an environmentalist. She loves nature. She's a bird watcher, I think.
Very nice.
That's great.
It is sweet. It does make me nervous about an animal, but it is sweet.
Well, you know what makes me nervous? And it also involves an animal. This wine does have a review by James Suckass. He gave it 90 of his points,
oh,
which is very low. because he has a lot of points to give, and he's a bit of a whore with them. So, Jimmy,
what?
Jim, I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's a whore, but he wears a whore's uniform.
Well, actually, you just kind of sort of did.
Well, he is. Anyway, he wrote bright and very primary on the nose with attractive poached pears.
What does it mean to be primary on the nose?
Only he knows, but he is a masterclass teacher.
Do you think he means colors? Like primary colors?
I think he means very basic.
Primary education.
Yeah.
Very basic.
Yeah.
Primary on the nose.
Like his knowledge.
Straightforward. It's singular.
His popularity is very basic. And then he goes, the palate has a very neat and fresh array of pears and melon with a subtle chalky edge.
Chalky?
Chalky. And that's it. He had two sentences. At least they were complete sentences, right?
They were.
Good job, James.
Very nice.
We also give you a 90 for your review.
I don't. Aggregate score, 74.
74.
Yes, yes. So.
The website says this is a classic Chardonnay, so that's kind of.
As opposed to.
Well, no, just not going to be like a really.
Well, some information.
I think they're trying to be true to what a Chardonnay is.
And given the spec sheet, I mean, a few things. 100% Chardonnay, 75% malolactic fermentation. So that means they're still going to have a little bit of zing there, a little bit of acidity.
Nice.
Just a little bit. Just a little
bit.
Do you
ever mix Chardonnay with something?
You can. Semillon, depends. But in California, normally they're going to 100% Chardonnay.
Okay.
Semillon, though, is something that you do see that. 75% barrel fermentation in French and Hungarian oak, 50% new.
Beautiful.
And 6 months aging sur lye.
You might ask, what does that mean? That means the wine, they allow it to sit on the lees to extract some more flavor.
And what are lees, Scott?
The
dead yeast cells.
Dead yeast cells.
And grape matter.
It's what's
left
over. What
does that mean? Like, do they lay it?
It's just allowed to rest.
Think of it
as
just
part of the aging.
Just think
process.
Of it as
like inside the barrel.
The fermentation process, the residue, the gunk, they leave it on that and let it age on that, and then they mix it up some occasionally to bring that flavor back through it. It makes it more vibrant and it makes it more flavorful
instead of draining it out.
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Okay. Instead of straining it, yeah. I guess. Okay.
You know, at home winemaking, you would simply extract the fluid and allow the solids to remain, let it desiccate out, and do it again. Where here, they're just allowing those to sit rather than filtering them or drawing them out some other way. No expert on this by all means, but I would guess it would allow some more of the minerality and some of those other characteristics to be drawn into the wine rather than go away from
like pear,
the gray matter.
Pear. Oh. Definitely a lot of pear, according to James. So
what was that?
He likes pear. It's pear. Just pear.
Stop saying that.
Pear.
Pear?
Yeah, I like pear.
Is it old pear?
Yeah.
14% alcohol content.
14.
Pretty decent for Chardonnay.
Yeah, well, that's because it's pear.
I
smell pear on the nose, and I taste pear. Now, he had just been drinking pear schnapps, but that's neither here nor there. Straight, by the way. So in the glass, it's one of the prettier Chardonnays we've ever had on the show, and I'll say that right now.
It's gorgeous.
Ooh.
It really
vibrant.
Is.
Yeah.
Also, I think that your new glasses allow for a pretty generous pour.
Getting back to the style of the glass and the openness of it, but it has at the same time a certain purity to it, but there's also just a little shimmer.
There is.
Of golden, almost brown to it. There's just some, it's a vibrant looking wine.
It is.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And on the nose, it's roasted pear.
It is. I was going to say, it almost tastes like, or it almost smells like the Sauvignon Blanc, doesn't it?
Well, if it had roasted pear, damn him.
Well, if it had
damn
roasted
you,
pear.
Damn you, Jimmy.
It smells like. I mean, it has like the sweetness,
it
the.
Does. And these glasses do allow for a lot of the aromatics, because you can smell this wafting from a foot away.
And you know that it's an oaked Chard, but it's not. The aroma is more of the.
It's where we smell it in that glass.
This smells similar.
Mm-hmm. Just a little more pronounced.
I can smell more of the oak in your glass.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, I am, like, I'm the JV team tonight, drinking out of the...
I gave you an option. Now, I was going to give you that regardless, but that is Venom, and these are wine, so that's a more expensive glass. Those are still good glasses.
Yeah, it smells beautiful.
Mm-hmm, it does. Let's just
go in. Hey, but do we need to give Mr. JS some props in that he nailed the nose on this?
I mean, anyone could nail it.
Here, I try and give some credit where credit is due.
It's
and
vibrant.
Yeah.
I'll teach you words like
anybody
vibrant.
Could have done that.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
It's right there.
Hey, Henry, what does it smell like?
It smells like a pear candle. It's not. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Masterclass.
Not rocket science.
Here we go.
I don't want to be disappointed by this.
Mm-mm.
It has a really nice mouthfeel.
Oh, that's delicious. Oh.
The mouthfeel is nice, isn't it?
It's a beautiful mouthfeel. Oh, then it crescendos into the oak.
Oh. It has like an elevated mouthfeel. It has like a little bit of oiliness to it.
It does.
It's very good.
Speaking of spot on.
I mean, tropical fruit, so but it's good. Balanced with the oak. And the viscous mouthfeel.
And I'm going to tell you, there's a little bit of astringency on the back of my palate.
There is.
This is a wonderful expression of Chardonnay, but it also it gets a couple of extra notches for the mouthfeel and that drying effect.
My favorite thing is the finish, because you have that little tropical fruit that leads into this big crescendo of oak and an intensity, and you can tell it's not an American oak. You taste the spiciness of that French and Hungarian oak, and just kind of, and it just crescendos, but in a nice way. It's not acrid, it's not off, and it has a little bit of sweetness in the fruit still to balance it through the finish.
It starts out, my initial first impression is that this is going to be too sweet. It starts off with a sweet fruit, but it never goes anywhere. It never goes beyond that. It's a wonderful, surprising. It's a little ride.
It is.
It's a little ride. My first impression is sweet, which, you know, the hair starts standing up on my ears a little bit, but it's not. It's not too sweet. It's just sweet fruit.
I enjoy this.
There's a couple things going on.
But I enjoy this with the same sensations that I enjoy a red wine.
What?
I agree. This has...
Who are you?
This has some red wine characteristics. The mouthfeel. Finish, and that little drying. That little astringent drying.
Yes. The mouthfeel, it's a good medium body. And it has the length that we're not accustomed to, simply because we know we drink shitty Chardonnays. But still, or average. But this right here is the same price as KJ, which we don't think is terrible. But KJ is a two-note pony, where this is a 14-note. This tastes like it should be $35.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm about to play that game. 35, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be disappointed with it.
But it's a smaller production, and it's a proper... You know, Russian River Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. It's not one of these Californian Mayomi suckholes.
I was just thinking in my mind, if you are a Chardonnay drinker, but like a cheaper Chardonnay drinker, are you going to like this?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I think that's a good, not necessarily a challenge for our listener, but this is very... It's a little different than approachable in that it's got some different things going on.
It does.
But I think it's straightforward.
Mm-hmm. It would challenge them. Yeah. However, I think that they would still find things that they would enjoy.
Yeah.
They would probably serve it too cold, so they wouldn't pick up. See, let me get this out of the
room. Yeah, you do. I think a lot of these different things that are going on, whether it's the mouthfeel, whether it's the subtle transition from the sweet fruit to that little buttery mouthfeel to that tropical fruit. If this is overly cold, you're going to lose some of that in the translation.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know. It's interesting. It'd be good to get some listener feedback on that. If you are, you know, that cheap Chardonnay drinker, do you appreciate this one? You might have to go to a little wine shop to find this. You're likely not going to find this in the... Wine.com has it. You might not find this in your grocery store if you're not in California.
Right.
I wish you did, But then again, it's possible that there aren't any strong Russian rivers and things like that. Their Chardonnays are similar to this, but I bet they're not. Because they're too big production to be quite this interesting.
And
this is my favorite Chardonnay that we've had on the show.
I can't say necessarily by far, but
this is better than the Morning Fog and the Riva Ranch and.
Oh yeah,
I know where this wine's headed, and it makes me really happy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think this is consensus. I think we say it now; it's going on the wall.
It does go on the wall. It does go on the wall, but how high?
How high on the wall? And you know, regardless of where it ends up, you know, we're talking entry level pricing.
Yeah, we are.
It's seriously entry level pricing. Yep. Are you going to find better quality than this?
True.
Fantastic mouthfeel.
Okay. Let me try it in your glass, Becky.
Okay.
You want to try it in mine?
I don't know that it'll be that much different taste.
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
I was going to try to have a snack with it.
That's right. It does make you feel fancy drinking those glasses. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, with all the fruity notes in it, what would you serve this with? Like, if you were cooking, what would you serve this with?
Well, first of all, I think Swiss goes actually quite well with it.
It's marinated veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to hold up well to the oil of those marinated veggies. So like a classic antipasto. Now, maybe not the fattiest of meats, but, you know, a nice
sea bass.
Antipasto. Why do we always go to sea bass when it comes to white wines?
He always says sea bass.
He does, but it's appropriate.
In this glass, in the Uno glass, folks, it goes a little bit more straight to a mineral. A mineral glass. Where this, in the bigger Montrachet glass, it's a little more rounder.
Hmm.
So that's a little more intensified. And you also pull out a little more of the acidity on the finish.
Okay.
This one you don't. Interesting.
And you know, you mentioned there should be acidity in this. That's the first we've mentioned mm-hmm. it here. And it yeah. is. It comes across with the oak at the finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, although it's a little colder in that glass too. But this is a big friendly bowl of loveliness, but that's also a little colder. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Need a little more, Scott?
Yes, thank you.
Put your own bottle. No,
I have to say,
it's been a long time since I've gotten drunk off Chardonnay.
This makes me want to go get their Pinot.
Oh,
hello!
I'm already ordering it. I mean, you better believe it. And by the way, I got 90s across the board.
The Pinot did.
Mm-hmm. From the Yetzes. It's the Three Stooges of wine. It got a 90 from James Suckling.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It got a 90 from the tasting panel, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, whatever that is.
And it got a 90 from Wilfred Wong. And he accidentally put, like, his private notes on there. It says, commentary, blah, 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 blah. Tasting notes, blah, 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 blah. It's like, Wilfred, when you're writing things on a notepad and handing it to whomever types it in there, make it in proper form. It's like... It
reminds me of someone that you had under your employment.
It's true. Yes. 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 Emotional thoughts. Da, 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 da. My wife doesn't understand me anymore. Da, oh, shit. I mean, what if you put the wrong yellow pad in front of that person that's typing, you could get fucked up.
Right. Yeah. Damn it. It's very good.
Da, da, da. What do these feelings mean? Da, da, da,
as
da.
Far as like white wines go, I do love Sauvignon Blanc, and I find that I really like this because it just reminds me of that. Like the tropicalness, the pear, it just reminds me of it.
I agree.
And not in a bad way, just in like a way that a flavor palette that I like.
Sure. Well, it does. I mean, but I think you're picking up on that mineral that then crescendos a little bit into the oak, and that kind of emulates a little bit of the acidity or mm-hmm. the like mm-hmm. the
crispness, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but quite frankly, anymore, I would say that you are no longer a Sauvignon Blanc fan as much as you are a New Zealand Pinot Noir fan.
Hmm. Don't even say that because we can't get it.
Well, we can get other ones, and you like them all. See, Becky went into the world of snobbery, where like some people like Argentinian Malbecs. She likes New Zealand Pinot Noirs.
Dare I say that your palate is evolving. Altered? Yeah, I mean the Pinot Funk that you hated it. Now it's part of your profile, girl.
In fairness, though,
the am I wrong?
Love. I don't love funk,
but it's.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's part of your profile now.
And that's the thing. The first one that you tasted was Sherwood Forest, the duck horn. It tasted like Sherwood Forest. It tasted like you licked, you just took your face. Which, I mean, and put it in pine needles and dirt. Scott, you can tell a little people about how this works. But
we knew as soon as we tasted it.
We don't know what happened on that Friday night for you, but you seem to be smiling. I don't know. Anyway, it tasted like that. And that's a little bit much. I liked it because I'm masochistic. But, you know. You didn't like it because...
You're not that masochistic.
Well, I won't eat things that taste and smell like dog food, but... and, you know, like...
Not even for $1 million?
No, I know. Let's not get into that. That's just terrible. Yeah.
Sidebar note. Stomach, evidently.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back with an interesting question here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So, in the news recently, and I said a question, but then they all
vetoed.
Yeah, they vetoed it. Becky had a question that she wanted to ask everybody, but
I didn't want to ask everybody that.
But she backed out of it. So it's an inappropriate question. I'll ask it some other time. Anyway, there was something in the news or news Twitter. I mean, it's Trump's news. He gets upset about that when he realizes most of the things on Twitter are made up. And that's what he calls fake news because it's just made up.
What?
I mean, it's not news. Twitter isn't news, dum-dum. But nevertheless, you know, go buy some more McDonald's for... Did you see that? I mean, the one... he went and bought a bunch of fast food for the football players from Clemson. And they go, you know, we have a dietitian. He's going to be pissed. Nevertheless, that's... Hey, whatever.
I just saw this picture. When your mom lets you pick the food for your fifth birthday party.
That's intense. You know why he did that? Because he likes that food.
But and then he got to say, I bought all this food.
Well, that's great.
Out of my own pocket.
That's fine.
Did you see what Burger King did?
No.
So, in the original tweet, he called them hamburgers.
Hamburgers?
Yeah. Sure. And Burger King threw some shade today.
Well, he never picked any of their hamburgers. If you ever had their hamburgers, it's the version of that marinated vegetable.
I love a Whopper Jr.
I know. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any of that stuff since...
So Burger King said, due to a large order placed yesterday, we're all out of hamburgers. Just serving hamburgers today. Okay, hold on. We have to pause it. I have to show you this.
No, keep on talking.
No, we're listening.
No, it's just another thing I saw on Twitter.
Awesome dude is wearing... Okay, yeah.
He's wearing Wendy's. That's hair awesome. And it says, welcome to the White House. Fuck you want.
Dude with the... Fuck you want. Big 5 o'clock shadow wearing obnoxious Wendy's outfit.
I'm so dead. Yeah. That is amazing.
That's terrible.
It's awesome.
Well, bringing us back to more serious news. On Twitter, there was a story a tweet about a woman that was arrested in a parking lot at Walmart.
Walmart, go figure.
Was she on a mobility scooter?
Yeah, I love stories that start out. A woman got arrested at a Walmart parking lot. I don't think
she was in a Jazzy.
Oh, she was in on a Jazzy.
She was in a Jazzy.
But she was drinking wine out of a Pringles can.
Out of a Pringles can.
That's right. I wonder, and the question becomes, what would she have been drinking? That's the question. And what would James...
Prior to the Pringles can?
No, out of reading this tweet, this story, this news account, your question is, I wonder what she was drinking?
What else would I care? I mean, I bet James Suckass gave it something over 90. Just saying.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot of thoughts I have. It was in the morning. They arrested her at like 9 o'clock in the morning at somewhere else, like at Applebee's or something.
That's right. This was Applebee's are open interaction at 9? With the police.
It was somewhere basically in the Walmart parking lot.
Well, how long do those batteries on Jazzy's last?
I don't know.
Motoring.
But the police found her and told her she was allowed to come back to the Walmart.
In flight.
What is your life like if you are banned from Walmart at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Glorious.
That's true.
It's 9 in the morning.
Well,
we're not talking 4 a.m. We're talking 9 a.m. You're banned.
Well, shouldn't have been drinking out of Pringles can.
What are you going to do the rest of the day on your Jazzy?
The other question I have about this is, why wouldn't you just drink out of the bottle? Why would you pour it in a Pringles can?
Because that way they wouldn't know you were drinking.
She was going incognito.
And also...
Right, because no one would...
No one would ever notice that you were...
Can I point out the fact that cheddar cheese Pringles are delicious? And if you get the right wine in there, it just gets all that cheddar cheese goodness, all the dust...
Oh.
And gets it back in the wine.
So, this is a question. What wine would you put in a Pringles can?
Oh, my God, none.
In a Pringles can?
Yeah.
But I'm not drinking it.
Yeah.
No drinking
it. Oh, I have to drink it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point.
I mean, you could pour any wine in a Pringles can.
I could. What wine deserves to be poured in a Pringles can?
I mean, a Bota Box is an easy answer because it's basically in a Pringles can.
I think Bota Box deserves better.
But it's the same it's the same lining as a Pringles can, isn't it?
Right.
Well, I think the... that Pinot we had recently, Oh, that's a little too strong. It would eat through the Pringles can.
Alexander Brown.
That would eat through the Pringles can. It'd have to be something that is slightly weak, but still terrible.
Would Mayo. You do a red or a white?
Well, I'm betting she was drinking...
Rosé.
Oh, rosé. Or white Zin. Well, white Zin's a good choice.
Bad white Zin.
I think there's an argument that all rosé should probably be drinking out of the Pringles can. Because Triple B hates rosé.
Actually, we're going to do a sparkling rosé. An upcoming episode.
No, that's not sparkling.
It's a sparkler.
No, that's a Gamay.
But it's sparkling.
Yes, but it's not a rosé. It's a Gamay.
I've had a bottle of it.
Would you drink cat wine out of a Pringles can?
It's rosé. It's not supposed to be.
It is.
What?
Would you drink cat wine out of a Pringles can?
That might be appropriate. That'd be, you know, it'd be a good way to...
Cat wine's too expensive.
It'd be a good thing to do with your cat wine instead of drink it.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
So, quick survey.
I wouldn't judge someone for drinking a beer out of a Pringles can, but wine just seems not right.
Well, she has higher level
taste.
Does
it seem not right, though, but Pringles can, wine, Walmart parking lot, there's something that connects with that story.
Yeah, like if it was a 4D out of a Pringles can, I'd be like, I get it.
Well, let me ask you this. What part of the story seems right to you?
It all does. It seems like a beautiful. It seems like a beautiful Walmart
She's made
story.
A lot of life choices.
If you, so, if that's the way your night ends up,
but it was 9 a.m.
Hey man, it's still going on, motherfucker.
So, just quick survey. You know, we mentioned that. You know, why would you hide it in a Pringles can? But who here at this podcast hasn't taken the bottom of a Pringles can? Delicious Pringles, awful, yes, but delicious. And when you get to the bottom, you haven't. Tip the bottom of that Pringles can.
I've never done that.
I didn't actually know
what. What?
Never. I've never done that.
You haven't poured them out into your hand to lick your hand?
Well, lick my hand. No.
The Pringles can, it's empty. All the chips are gone.
Yeah.
And there's little Pringles crumbs, chips pieces. How are you getting those out of there?
William has. I've seen him do it.
Dumping the Pringles can.
I've never done that.
She can't eat Pringles.
Rachel stole the bottom of the Pringles from you, didn't she?
No. I mean.
For $500.
I don't know the last time that I had Pringles because I don't know if I can eat them.
I don't think
that they're totally potato.
Well, I don't think they're gluten free. Some are, some aren't. Like barbecue, I don't think is. But anyways, I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah, I don't think that they didn't slice that potato fresh.
And Rob immediately said, "Yes, I've done that." And I've seen
Rob do it
too. Oh, yeah. And oftentimes, I'll be honest. Who do that when there's maybe several Pringles left in the bottom,
I didn't know that you just didn't tilt the whole full can.
I've seen you do all of the above.
Right. Delicious. I can't eat them anymore because I'm on a diet. But
well, there's also so once your paw gets so big, you can cut yourself on the Pringles can. They're not very safe.
What are you doing?
I was going to say maybe because I have
your hand in there as quick as you can.
Maybe because I don't have big hands. I've never had to do that.
I bet Trump has no problem getting his hand in a Pringles can.
Oh, goodness.
You know what else you could put in a Pringles can?
And if he got the cheesiness on his hands, you wouldn't be able to tell.
That's a good way to wipe the cheesiness off your hands. You know what would be good in a Pringles can?
What's that?
Cheeseburgers and fries from McDonald's.
That would be good. That would be good. Then you'd have to scrunch up the cheeseburger, and I wouldn't want to do that to the cheeseburger. Becky, you want more?
No.
No, there was no more. Just that.
Oh.
I gave Scott a Christian pour. Damn it. That's okay.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, so let's refocus. Recenter. So over the weekend, I had a company party and not drinking beer. Had to drink some wine. And I'll say what, to my company's credit. I don't own the company, but the company I work for's credit. They actually had they made an effort. Okay. And they had different bottles of wine. So, okay. You know the one, you've seen the one with the sailboat on it? They have that.
The one with the sailboat on it? That would be Dry Creek.
No. It's different. It's a big boat. The whole thing's a boat. You probably haven't seen it. It's like Over the Seas or Off the... I don't know. Some fucked up thing. I didn't drink it. But they had Bogo Merlot.
Okay.
Which is what I drank. It was out of a plastic cup. And I'll tell you what. If you have to drink a wine out of a plastic cup, go for Bogo Merlot.
Consider a Pringles can?
No. Plastic cup. Now, I'm sure Bogle right now is just down there in the Delta saying, wow, we're the best in a plastic cup. But you're not. Because the Magistrate Merlot is also better than Bogle in a cup, but still worse at the same time. They also had...
Better, but still worse.
Yeah, but they didn't have like Apothic and all that kind of shit. They didn't do any of that stuff.
They had Ménage à Trois.
Yes, they did. In white.
I'll be honest... I would rather have Ménage à Trois than Apothic.
Well, they had like...
Seriously.
They had like seven different bottles of white wine open. All different.
Yeah, they did. They had tons.
Lots of choice. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. That was nice. None of it was a real great choice, but...
But it's fine. You can find something you like.
Exactly. And that was nice. I enjoyed that. It wasn't like two things that were sucked that were... They weren't also $3.99 a bottle stuff. And that often when you... Even when you go to a country mm-hmm. club or a wedding. Like we went to the wedding... wedding last summer, the only wines they had available were $3.99. And Steve goes, don't order that. Don't get that, man. Why? That's $3.99. That's like, no, don't do that.
It's an advantage to have somebody in the restaurant business.
It was Steve's like, we had that. We got rid of it. And he's like, no, you don't want that.
Steve said that?
Yeah, he goes, wait, I don't even know why we had it. We have like 2 seconds. We taste it. We're like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, you know he's serious when he starts talking real fast. I love when Steve starts talking real fast.
I had never heard of it. I knew it looked cheap, but you know, whatever. Wow. He said, that's terrible. I don't want that. And he was right. It was gross. Luckily, it was an open bar, so then we just switched to vodka.
But I think there's a learning point here for the listeners, too. If you're going to throw a little dinner party and you're going to offer X amount of bottles of wine, if you can consider it, go for a little more variety rather than less.
Yes, absolutely. Don't just do wine. Don't do the same thing. Mix it up a little bit. Have some fun with it. I mean, you can keep it at 10 below, but still have fun with it.
Yeah, and you know, there's other ways of doing that. You know, if you're going to have guests come to the party, say, hey, can you bring 2 bottles of this wine under this price point? You know, just thoughts of how to expand your choices.
Well, that's actually a fun party. You can build a tasting off what everybody brings.
At any price point, whatever.
Yeah. And you can even award a prize at the end of the night with everybody's favorite wine.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Look at that. Actual practical advice here on the Wine Vault.
That's fun. Hey, it sounds like a fun idea for a dinner party we've proposed.
Just as long as we're the only ones to bring the wine.
As long as we choose the wine.
I've suggested it, too.
I know you have. And I've suggested it to other people.
I'll tell you what I would bring to a dinner party.
What?
Rayburn River, Russian River Valley Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. I would bring Turley, but that's just me.
I'm just saying, this is delicious, and I would represent with this.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back here on The Wine Vault. Folks, we here on The Wine Vault are an open opportunity podcast. We would love for you to be a guest in The Wine Vault. Scott, tell them how to do it.
Contact us at thewinevault@outlook.com. Send us a message on the Facebook at thewinevault.rs. Twitter, contact us at Wine Vault Podcast. I'm at the O. We're on the Twitter, folks. We're on the Facebook. Contact us at our website.
Folks, you get a hold of us, we'll get a hold of you. We'll bring you on. Hey, who knows? You might even meet the superstar Steve Gibson. Who can say?
God, don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, give Steve a fiver. He'll show up. Anyway, folks, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So we are going to be reviewing the 2017 Rayburn Russian River Valley Chardonnay. We're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B.
Now, it's honestly difficult. I've not had I don't know if I've had a Chardonnay in the 90s.
I don't have a problem with a number that starts with a 9 for this.
Well, you're the one that will put it in the 9s. So.
I do not have a problem. I mean,
yeah.
James Suckling does not mean it's in the 90s.
I think it's really, I love, for me, what elevates it into the 90s is the mouthfeel. There's a lot of layers on it. It's very complex. It's just a beautiful drinking Chardonnay. So I think I'm going to do a 91.
Ooh. Very nice.
And like if I was doing a range, it would be like a 90 to 92 range.
Okay.
I'm between a 90 and a 91. Mm-hmm. and I'm maybe I'll be the Russian judge on this, but I'm going to give this a 90. What I particularly like about this is all the layers of flavor. No. I'm going 91 also. This deserves that extra bump for a couple reasons. One, this has a level of complexity. There's so many things going on. This demonstrates wonderful craftsmanship by Rayburn. Mm-hmm. Kudos, tip of the hat to you for just the different things that you do, from the different types of oak to the way it's oaked to the way they separate the stainless steel and blend the stainless steel age with the oak age, but how, you know, the surlee aging. I love that little bounce of drying mouthwash that you get. It's not your whole mouth, but the back of the palate, I get a little drying effect. The mouthfeel, I love those physical properties. Mm-hmm. The subtle minerality, the way they've oaked this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to you, Becky, I don't have a lot of experience with really quality shards, so I'm not sure, should this be a 90, 91, 92? I know this. I think this thing starts with a 9.
Yeah.
And I'm confident with that. I'm going to go 91, and I tip of the cap to Rayburn, and certainly Hall of Fame.
And, you know, I originally had written down 90, and then I realized I couldn't never agree with James Suckling. So I went to a 91 as well.
What?
Damn it. Is this the first time? Have we ever all three had the same score?
I'm wondering.
I almost went Russian Judge and went 90. I did say 90.
I know. I had a hard time myself.
It's an 89 to 91.
Oh.
And see, I was more, I know a range is usually 2 points, but I was between 90 and 91.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
I would have been upset. If you gave it an 89, it would have bothered me, because it's just too good for to be an 80.
That would have been amusing. But still, no, it's not. It's not in the 80s. It's too good to not start with a 9.
And yeah.
Not often does Rob interrupt his review to take another
drink.
Is that an indication of a 9?
You know what's good about this wine? It's balance. The fruit is balanced by the minerality, mm-hmm. which is balanced by the oak, which is balanced by the fruit. They all balance each other, but they're not all acting at the same time. So you have the fruit starting off, then you crescendo into a little bit of minerality that leans into the oak, which expands marvelously. Mm-hmm. And if the Triple B likes it, it's good fucking oak.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, the fruit comes back in on the finish to go along with the oak. So you don't have this overpowering, overbearing oak. It is big. However, if it's can be big if it's buoyed by something else, and it is the fruit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's so many. You talked about how balanced this is. There's so many different things going on, and they're all equal in proportion.
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous. I want to know what the case production is on this wine. There's no way that this wine will continue to stay at $16.99.
Mm.
There's just no way. It's impossible.
It's too good.
No, it shouldn't be. They should be charging $35-$40 bucks for this wine. That's what this wine should cost.
You should charge everybody else but us that.
I know, but that's what they should be charging, because that's how good this wine is.
We don't often get something that should cost more.
And I think there's a differentiation between the game we often play, how much would you pay for this, than what they should be charging for this.
And I'll be honest, I am going to drink the Pinot Noir, but I'm going to drink it by myself because I want the whole fucking bottle. I'm not drinking with anybody else.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't... There's one other bottle that I can honestly say I would drink a whole bottle by myself on a regular basis, and that's the Fumé Blanc from Dry Creek.
Oh, Dry Creek.
I love that bottle of wine.
There's a lot of wines up on the Hall of Fame.
Whites.
You know what I'd really like to drink by myself? A bottle of port. That'd be really smart.
That'd be not smart.
Well, I did that with Warrays one time. What happened? I can't remember. What's your name?
What? Who?
No, I didn't do the whole thing, but three-fourths. I might have been working.
What's on my name again?
I might have been working on episodes when I did that too.
What's my name again?
Yeah, I know. That was rough. Not a wise decision, folks.
This is
delicious.
And not a pleasant surprise, but you know, as soon as we put our nose to that, it was like, I hope this holds up to that nose.
I know.
And hey, for once we have to give James Suckling proper.
Shut up.
No, I will not. I won't do it.
I like this quote on the back, though. A glass of Rayburn Chardonnay is the start to a beautiful friendship. And guess what, Rayburn? From the wine vault to Rayburn Winery, this is the start of a beautiful friendship. No. By the way, the wine bottle, the bottle itself, is lovely. It's classic looking. It's actually Bell style, so it doesn't look like a budget Chardonnay. It's an amazing package. It's an amazing wine. It should be case stacked everywhere, and they should charge $35 to $40.
I can't find the case production for the Chardonnay, mm-hmm. but they have only been making the Pinot for a handful of years.
I bet it's good. It's probably really good. And they are really, I'm just amazed that they're charging this little for this wine. So, good find, Scott. Well done. Tip of the cap to Rayburn. Rayburn, we're going to try your Pinot, and we're going to love it. And we're going to drink your Chardonnay again and again.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Chardonnay, and it should be yours, folks. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will cheerfully bid you adieu. Not because we want to leave you, but it's because we're so happy.
We're very happy.
I have some news to tell you.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Happy.
I did some deep digging on this.
Happy.
Uh-oh. Guess who owns this winery?
Who?
Happy.
No.
Do you want me to tell you?
No, don't ruin it.
Do we just want to end the episode?
No, just say it.
Constellation.
Okay. Yeah, well. I actually Googled
Dagger.
Who owns Rayburn Winery, and I could not find an answer.
You didn't
get
that?
I just found an article. They sold it in February of 2018.
God damn it.
Oh, bastards. Well, yeah. Buy it
so
now.
So he made... So, well, I mean...
They still own control.
The founder, he like had a it's called Purple Wine and Spirits, mm-hmm. and he sold it. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where you're super wealthy, you just sell all your businesses back and forth and hide
them. Do they still maintain control, though? That's the question.
So when they made their Chardonnay, guess how many cases?
I have no idea.
What would you guess?
15,000.
60.
60?
60,000 or 60 cases?
60,000.
Where the fuck are all of them? This doesn't taste like a 60,000 case wine, but where the hell are they? I've never seen it. How would you not see a 60,000 case wine?
What Janice said, it's sold a lot in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And now they're trying to do... They had a non-compete for Pinot, and it's expired, and now they're making it.
You know what would be sad?
What's that?
Do you remember how...
Yes.
We had the Meiomi.
I know, and then they tripled it.
Mm-hmm. And then... Well, we had the bad one, then we went back and had the good one because we got our hands on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was much better.
And it was fantastic. It was very nice.
Well, was the last year.
Scott, before.
Would you like to hear some good news, though?
What's some good news? Give me some good news.
They're not going to be able to maintain the Russian River Valley appellation if they do that, because the vineyards there are finite. So you can't do 750,000 case production in a Russian River Valley. 70 or 60,000 is...
How dare you limit the ability for a wine producer to label their wine in the United States of America any way they want to label it, son.
Damn it, I believe in America, and I believe in AVAs.
I have a question. Have you all ever heard
American
of
winemakers don't.
Peaks?
Yes.
They're owned by the same...
Oh, really?
Purple.
They make a good Cabernet.
Yeah, and that's about a... 40,000. That's a collaboration between Benham and someone else.
Okay. Yes, I do know Scatter Peaks. They make an excellent Cabernet. It's hard to find. It just got some really good reviews.
Yep.
So if they make, if the same people that make this, that makes the Pinot, that's good wine. So
thanks for puncturing a hole in my heart.
I know. I like Sometimes I wish I wasn't so good at Googling, because I'm like, I don't know if I would want to know that.
I got that damn Google.
Now,
damn Google ruins everything.
That you're wounded. I'm happy. So, for Rob the Wine Guy.
Happy.
Yes, that's right. Back to being happy. Scott, happy. The Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B.
I'm so happy.
We are going to see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.